Is that better? You bet. We're good. Always turn, well, it doesn't matter. All right. Well, let's go over in the book. We'll continue on today in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. My sister-in-law, she's staying with us for a few days, and then Debbie will take her. It's always a blessing to have her here most of the time. No, she knows better. We razz each other all the time, but she said this morning, I got up, you know, fairly early and go out and study a little bit, pray a little bit for church or services, and she said, you ready? And I said, well, I hope so, and she says, yeah, we hope so, too. No pressure. No pressure at all. I thought, oh, man, I need to go back and fast and pray for a little bit, huh? Yeah. But anyways, it's good. A blessing just to be saved, to know that you're going to heaven, and the world is in complete chaos, and that, like our preacher said, be glad when the election's over, because that's all you hear. Oh, you hear about the debate. I don't want to hear about the debate, because I'm sure it was a debacle just like the last one was, a debacle. But when you take the Lord Jesus Christ out of the picture, and the Bible out of the picture, and the laws of God, and things are going to go into chaos. We know things before the Lord's coming back, and we keep saying that, and we'll keep saying that until the trumpet blows. But help us. We need to help each other. It's good to have family back from on the trip, and hopefully it was a good trip. Very good. It's, you know, this, I was talking to somebody here in the church here just a while back, and they talked about a vacation. When you go on vacation, then you have to come home, and you have to have vacation to rush up from the vacation,
right?
Because that's the way it is, and vacations are supposed to be relaxing, but you don't want to waste your time while you're there and have a good time. And well, there you go. Philippians chapter 4, if you would please, and we're gonna look at 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, but we won't stay there long because our preacher preached on it here a few weeks ago, and Wednesday night, and I know some, but it was very good, and we know these verses. A lot of times when we read the Word of God, we know what we should do, and we know how we should pray, and we know how we should live, but I just don't do it like I know I should. But Philippians chapter 4, it's in verse 1, it says, be careful for nothing, in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, when we think about prayer right there, prayer is the whole deal that encompasses all these other things that we're going to look at. But we were here last night, and some of the ladies were here on Monday night, and what they were doing is they were doing these things that's mentioned in verse 6 of chapter 4. Be careful for nothing. And, you know, when you look that up, careful, it's full of care, and encompasses this whole thing for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And that's the one thing, right? We were praying. And you know, and what I like about praying with the men is we don't pray the same thing all the time. It's we have a list. We have our church list, which we pray about, and the stuff that we and the people. And then there's some that have a little harder times than others at that time. And we want to spend a little extra time, and we might have 4 or 5 guys praying for that same person, and or that same request or whatever, that because we want God to answer. Remember that lady over there when she was coming to, I was going to look it up this morning, I forgot to, but she came to the king, and you know, she kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and finally, what did he do? He answered that prayer. And that's what happens in prayer in our lives. We had, I don't know if I mentioned this, probably did, I forget what, yeah, I got my black shoes on today. But you forget stuff a lot like that. But Rory trusted Christ here a little while back, a few weeks ago. And that was really a blessing to us. We've been praying for a long time for that. And we have others in our family that we're praying for. And sad, not here. But so, you know, your grandpa wants to school them on, hey, did you really get saved? And I didn't press her real hard, but she had all the right answers. And she knew that she was going to die and go to hell if she didn't trust Jesus Christ as her person. She's a very timid young lady, but she knew what she stood on. And you know why most of that was? Because of her older sister. had been praying for. He says, yeah, Grandpa, I pray for a lot and many times. And no matter the Lord God, no matter where we're at, we can bring these prayers and these requests to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look there again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, the whole volume and supplication. And we know what that is, and we do that with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And Debbie and I, when we heard about Rory getting saved, we just thank God for what he had done. Yeah. And thank God, and we just thank God for, boy, I do so much anymore because I just want him to know because I love him and I thank him. He's a good father, and he takes care of us very well. Let's turn over to, but when you think about, go over and turn over to Acts chapter 1, and I'll just say a couple of supplication. There's supplication, thanksgiving, requests, and there's specific needs that we have the Lord Jesus Christ that we want to see the Lord God answer or keep the devil at bay. And it's very easy nowadays to get tied up in the things of the world and the things that we should not get tied up into. And, you know, it's like I've said before, once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're saved forever, right? Is that right? Unto eternal life and everlasting life. And we know we have, but it just seems like we get drawn back in some of these old things and these old ways and the old things. They may not be really bad, but they're just things that we just shouldn't have in our lives. And I find the old man creeping up all the time and just trying to get me to do things that I don't want to do, that I shouldn't do. But Acts chapter 1, and let's read a few verses here. It says, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, and I'll probably butcher some names, John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued in one accord by prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. There was a lot of people there. It's just like a church-wide thing. And is there anything wrong with that? We're not going to do that today. But sometimes, you know, the whole church will pray for something, which we do on Wednesday night for a few minutes. And if there's not time, the preacher will pray and we'll pray with him. That's good that we can pray for each other, that we can stand fast in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying for each other, right? They were bad. When did you get home from Oklahoma? Okay, Thursday night. Went down. Skip's mom passed away and went down to the funeral. But it's good to have you back. It really is. It's good to have friends. Isn't it good to have friends? Good to have friends together. And Lord, especially ones that that believe that are like-minded, even though they're a long ways away. Like-minded and in the Lord and the Word of God and all these things, we can rejoice in the fact that we have eternal life. All right, go back to Philippians. Now keep your place in Philippians chapter 4, if you would, the whole day, because we'll just be going back and forth on there. But in verse 7, it says, well, be careful for nothing. Verse 6, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, one thing I forgot to say over there in verse 6 was, remember over there in Luke chapter 17, there the Lord Jesus Christ, there was 10 lepers out there, and the 10 lepers were there, and how many out of that 10 got healed? All 10. Yeah, all 10 got healed, but how many came back and gave thanks? One. One guy that came back and gave thanks, and God even made a little bit of statement about that one guy. The 10 got healed, but we're so unthankful. And so I'm thankful for what God does, just the simple things, just going down the road, it's just amazing. You drive around Dillon, Montana, you're just thankful you can make it downtown. It's got to be way worse in Missoula, because it's people cutting you off and running around and doing all that, just thankful that you can make it from one place to the other. But I'm sorry I went to 7. Let's go back. It were in First Thessalonians 5. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, we know what's in John chapter 11. This is the raising of Lazarus and the whole thing. But it would have been quite a deal to be able to be back there at that time when Jesus Christ was walking on the earth because they handled him. Remember, John laid on his breast or on his chest there and heard the heartbeat of God, be able to see him and hear his voice and be able to touch him. And we just have to wait for that day. John chapter 11, let's start over there in 41. Then he took away, and of course this is about Lazarus, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead. Now, do you think Lazarus could have come forth without him saying anything? I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things. You don't know what's in. But he said it for a reason. For the people to hear and for him come. And anyways, it says, when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, verse 43, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with great clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the thing which Jesus did believed on him. And when you hear the word of God, and just through prayer, and hear what he has to say, and hear what he's done for us, and God had mercy on us, and he said, and just thankful, very thankful for the things that he has done for us and just kept us alive. Thankful that I'm able to cast a shadow and don't have to sit in a wheelchair, and thankful for all the things. We could sit all day and just thankful for the prayers that God has answered us. All right, now let's go ahead back to Philippians chapter 4. And continue on there. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." In Romans chapter 5, it was, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And a lot of people don't have that peace that we have, the peace and then knowing that I don't have to worry about going to hell ever. Because when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, you save me until he calls me home, and I'll be in heaven with him. But a lot of people don't have that peace and don't have that assurance that they're one of these days will go on to be with the Lord God. And I have that. And how can you have that? It says, let's turn over to John. John chapter, go stay in Philippians chapter 4. This is probably one of my favorite verses. I have a lot of them. "That seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And if you work for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of you and help you. John chapter 5, if you would, it says down in verse 24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," and you're here today, "and believeth on him that sent me, hath" what? "Everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life." Now, he never did say there, go to Philippians 4, that we might not have some trials and tribulations, some hard times in our life. But he's still going to be there no matter what happens. Jeremiah or Ezekiel, when they were down in the pit, remember they put the rope down there and put the old clothes around it to get him out of there. God saw everything that was going on. And Job, that doesn't matter. We won't go there. The Lord Jesus Christ is there with us always, no matter what kind of things we go through. And Colossians, now let's go over just right there. Next page there, Colossians chapter 1, and we think about this, and then we'll go on to the next thought. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross for our sins? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's either you pay for your own sins in hell, or you trust and believe in him, the death and burial and the resurrection, and call upon him. My favorite, and I've used this 10,000, well, maybe not 10,000 times, but a lot of times. It's where Peter is walking on the water. That, to me, that is just the perfect example of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's walking across the water. He gets his eyes off of Jesus Christ. He starts to sink, and what does he say? Lord, save me. And that's what I did. I didn't have no big fancy words or nothing. I didn't know anything. I just knew I was going to hell unless I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, save me that day. That was a long time ago, boy. I'm still saved. Still going to heaven. No matter what happens to me, I know I have a home in heaven. And each one of you here had, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? The sons of God. To everyone that believeth on his name. I butchered that last part, but that happens a lot. Stuff like that. Because you just forget the stuff. Am I getting old? No, just there's too much. Like I told you, this is just like a computer. And it gets overwhelmed. And what do you have to do with a computer once in a while?
Reboot
it. I need a reboot up here. There's so much stuff swimming around, and it gets in the way, as many of us here. But I'm going to get a reboot one day when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. And the last verse says, wherefore, comfort one of these, comfort one each, comfort us. He comforts each one of us. You know what it is. There it is. Thank you. We're to comfort each other on this because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and we'll get that new body and get rid of this old one, and it'll all be a joyous day. All right, now in chapter 8 there, chapter 8 it says here, well, let's read it over. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now this is the Apostle Paul's last little hurrah for the church of Philippi. He's trying to give them just one more shot in the arm. And I'm not there yet. I've got a long ways, but I've already been thinking about what I'm going to, you know, if the Lord gives me the opportunity, it is what I'm going to tell my boys just before going to be with him. You know, give them a charge. Just as we need to give each other a charge. And you need to think about the things that the Lord got. They did in the Old Testament when they were about to die. They always gave their kids and whatever a charge to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking, I was praying for the couple of our young ladies that are at college, and we have one of us with us today. It's good to see you. But because of their mom and dad brought them to church and kept them in church, and taught them the word of God, they have a better chance out there in the world than any lost person does.
Yeah.
Why? Because they have some statutes and they have some commandments, and they just have this book right here, this book that gives us the diagram to how that we can live a good godly life and have victory over the world. But we're around the world, but God has been, and I'm thankful for everybody that brings their kids in. You think, oh, this is hard. This is, yeah, it's hard. And for you kids, yeah, it's hard. But you keep doing it until the stars fall, boy. I don't think there was ever, I was mentioning something one day, and many of you are this way. In my house, there was no question whether you were going to come to church or not. You just got up because you knew you were going to go to church, unless you were sick, of course. You know, I didn't drag them in here if they, and they tried to be sick every week, but that never happened. No, they didn't. I would have if I was a kid. Oh, man, Mom, I just, my stomach. You know, that kind of stuff, but it doesn't matter. You just keep coming, and you keep, because if you put them that, if you instill that in them, they're going to come when they're older. Isn't that right? Yeah, they learn by example. They learn by watching you. I know when I just, my dad, like I've told you, he taught me a great, great skill, and there's a lot to that. A lot to that, what we do, what you do, and what many others do in here, no matter what you do, they're skilled at everything. And you teach that, but if you don't use it, what we've been taught, then it's to our detriment, whatever. But there's a lot of things we've got taught in our life that we've had to just let go because they didn't line up with the Bible. But anyways, back over in verse 8 again, it's finally, my brethren, the last thing I'm going to, and he says a couple other things before the end of Philippi. You know, I was reading over in Titus the other day, I'm just changed on this one, this letter to Philippi, he was talking to Titus, and you know, there's no book of Laodicea. You know, it talks about the church of Laodicea, but no look, but he went there, and he was trying encouragement, but I'd never seen that before. But the letter that Paul wrote to Titus and to the church, the Cretans over there, he says, take that and give it to the church of Laodicea so they can read it also. I thought, man, I've never seen that before. That's why there's no book of Laodicea. I don't know. But it was very interesting. You know, he's trying to encourage not only just one church or one preacher, but many others. And how many churches have been, not churches only, but us as far as children of God have been encouraged by the words that the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter and Matthew and Luke and all those guys wrote in the scriptures so we might have a better walk with him and be able to stay away from some of the things of the world. I was talking to a Christian the other day, and he's okay. I believe the guy is saved, and the guy's going to heaven, but he thinks it's okay to drink in moderation and all that, and I don't. I just, wine is a mocker, strong drink is rich, and all that stuff. Why? Because I probably can't control it. And even if it is right, I can't control it, and I'm not going to do it. But just because of that, those different things here, I'm sure each one of us doesn't believe the, well, maybe the book the same, but on some other rent, but we can still be friends, and we can still have fellowship, and we still have the Word of God to go on and teach us, and the truth of it, and we can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now, over there in verse 8, it says, finally, my brethren, what things are true. Now, we could probably run, you know, you go and type that thing up in the Bible, each one of these words, except for lovely. Lovely is only mentioned one time, and that's here in this verse, but the concept is all through the Word of God. And, you know, it comes up with pages and pages and pages. Well, you can't do that. We don't want to belabor the fact, because you read right over here. If you read every one of these and you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, you read that, you know that's what you should do, right? That's right. It's not impossible to live a godly life, but and I'm sure glad that God has given us when we don't. We have, you know, we can go to him and say, hey, we messed up here. We messed up, but we can go on for the Lord Jesus Christ, confess our sins, and go on for him. But it's the final encouragement, the list of things here, these things here, they're not outwardly, they're inwardly. The list of things that promote the inner character for each and every one of us. And I'll tell you what, people don't have character today, not like they did in the old day. I was talking to a contractor up here who's building the house up by that guy over there, and over there, and he was just saying his dad was a preacher, and we got to talking about the Bible a little bit, and haven't invited him to church yet, but I will. But he was talking about character. There's no character out in the world anymore, and that's what it was. Well, that boy's got some character. That guy's got some grit. I remember Jack Woods. They were talking about they were bad mouthing somebody. That's terrible. Preacher, but he was saying, yeah, he said, the only thing wrong with that boy is he ain't got no grit. He needs some grit, some salt, some sand. He needs to get out. And that's what we need. It's the Lord Jesus Christ to say this. We need to stand up for what we believe. And because if we don't, nobody's going to help. Well, there might be some there to help it, but people will see some character into you. We were talking about some guys here the other night that have to, and I've only done this one time. One time I went and I drew the short straw, and the bosses didn't want to go to this thing in Pennsylvania, and so they threw the whatever. I don't know if Joe remembers that. I went to this boss school. I was an hourly guy, and I was way out of my league, and they knew it. Well, where do you work? And I tell him, oh, what is your job? I'm an underground miner. Well, what are you doing here? Yeah. Type of deal. Well, they had no fellowship with me. Because they were just a little bit higher, and I thought, well, that's fine. And they went out and did their drinking and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter, you know. I've got guys in here that are the same stripe as I am, and they're true when it comes to the Word of God and true to the things that go on. that go on for the Lord and know what they need to do. So we have the character, the qualities that we should possess as a Christian are right here in verse 8. It says, there, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what?
True.
All right. Says over, let God be true and every man a what? Liar. God is true. I don't care what you said, what anybody said, he's true. You know, there's some that don't believe that you really need to. Have you ever been to you don't need to be saved to go to heaven. But that's not what the Word of God says, you know, and we know what it is. We must believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you ever been to a funeral? I've been to two funerals where they go, and it was sad. It was a terrible, they had no hope. The guy that was speaking had no hope. You know what they always say? Well, she's in paradise, or he's in paradise. No, they're not. No, they're not. Why? Because we know the Word of God, and that should help us to go to those around us that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and work as far as telling them about Him and how that they also can be saved. Some don't believe. Just because some don't believe doesn't make the faith of God and salvation of none effect. Doesn't take the Word of God. The Word of God is the most important thing we have in the world because it shows us the way of salvation, the way that we can live, and it shows us how we can know for sure that we're going to heaven. All right, let's go on. I'll read this. And it says, in Galatians chapter 2, it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in what? In vain. Well, he's not dead in vain. And there is no other way to heaven, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For the grace of God, you know, the grace of God is the most amazing thing, that he would allow his son, who, you know, when he was praying in the garden, he didn't want that, take of that cup. But he did, and he chose to, and did it gladly, and he died on the cross and suffered as no man has ever suffered. I've never suffered like he suffered. And died on the cross for us, but he's 100% God, and he was raised from the dead, and he sits at the right throne, right hand of God, making intercession for each and every, because he's the true. He says, I am the way, the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, now we'll go on, and when you think about true being truth, over in John chapter 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. And there's no lies in it. There's always somebody that says, well, there's contradictions all through the Bible. As a preacher told me one time, he says, you know, when they say that, just say, show me. Yeah. Well, that shuts them down. Because they haven't got a clue, because they're just parroting somebody else. Yeah, there's contradictions all through the Bible. Well, show me, and they don't have a clue. And boy, but I bet you they search to find out later on so we get that. Yeah, the Word of God is so important. Now let's turn over to 119. Over in the book of Psalms, keep one finger over in, you know, I'm so thankful. There's a verse, maybe we'll look at it today. Tony Shirley, he takes that verse, he doesn't butcher it by any means, but it's just kind of puts it to his own, you know, southern mentality, to where, and maybe we'll get there today. Psalm 119, if you would, please, let's look over in 155. It says, let's go ahead and start there. It says in verse 150, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. And plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. And I'll tell you what, that's the way it is today. They don't care. They call good evil and evil good. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. And the Lord God is gracious because these testimonies are sure and they're true, and we can believe it as much as walking here. I don't know. We know the Word of God is true. And we know the things in the way that we should, the way that we should be, and the way that we should go. Now, talk. Now let's turn over to John 19, then we'll go on a little bit. John 19, if you would, John chapter 9. When you get older, and I'm not old, I am not old. I'm just on the other side of, I'm just closer to death or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing is, the more precious, the longer you're saved, the more precious the Word of God gets to you, the way it's alive, because we know what we have, we know what we were, we know what we have to look forward to, and no matter what, because to be absent from the body for me is to be present with the Lord. John chapter 19, well, let's look down to verse 32. It's good to be saved, it's good that we know that we can go into heaven. It says, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified. That's the one on the right and the left. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that that he was dead, and he was all right, and he brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and this record is true. For he knoweth he knoweth that he saith true, that they might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, the bone of him shall not be broken. And we see that over in the book of Zechariah chapter 12, in Psalm chapter 34, and Psalm chapter 22, talks about that not one bone is his. Is going to be broken. And that was a long time ago. That was 1,000 years ago when they prophesied that stuff. And here it is. It's come to fruition. Not one thing is left to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. So we're living in a good time and a great time. But day with the Lord is 1,000 years of that. I'm not trying to discourage you, but he's coming back no matter what. Paul thought he was going to come back in his time. All right, back over to... let's turn over to stay in the book of Psalms, I think. No, we were in John. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Now, the next one is pure. Can I be just a little bit? I don't want to be. But it talks about it in the Bible. Talks about it. Is when a guy and a girl get married and stuff like that, it's good that they're virgins, don't you think? I think it's a good thing, because that shows something to God, and they're pure in that in that way. That's something we should strive. Now, I'm already married, but that the young people, and it doesn't matter who it is, should strive for. Psalm chapter 19, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody because I had it in there. All right, in Psalm chapter 19, let's start down in verse 7. There it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together." All right, let's go back over to Philippians chapter 4. And second Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now, in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John, we'll read a couple verses, then we'll go on. 1 John chapter 3, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here, because these things we know we ought to do. We know it, and the Word of God tells us to do the 1 John chapter 3. But the first thing, the best thing, is to know for sure that you're saved and you're going to heaven. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Talks about that in John chapter 1. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to lose this vile body, and we're going to get that. We know that we're going to get that incorruptible body, and we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that will be! Remember over there in Genesis, in chapter 1, 2, and 3. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you know, their thinking was a little bit different. I think it might be that their conscience was a little bit different, it was seared, and they took of the fruit, you know, the tree of good. And there's a lot there. Won't cover it today because it doesn't matter. We know that sin came into the world, but they had it. There was a change there, and Adam saw there was a change in his wife, and he wanted to be like that. And it's a sad deal, you know. Over the talks, it says the woman was in the transgression, and but he partook of it, and he's going to answer for it when he get to heaven. All right, flee all for useful lust, and talks about that in 1 John. Now let's go back over there to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll get it done here today. It says here, whatsoever thing is true, whatsoever thing is honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things, we ran over just, but I'll just read a couple of verses there. When you think about just, when just has to do with justice, has to do with judgment. And we're the righteous man. We judge with everything. It doesn't matter what it is. And we judge the spirits. We judge what's right. Now, if somebody asks, I didn't say that, but when you're at these different things, and our preacher was talking about, and it was probably a little struggle at the first, but they go out to drink and do that. And it was even at that thing when I went to in Pennsylvania, but now they know he's not going to do that. So what does he do? He goes and just me the same way. So he's a teetotaler. He's not going to do that. So he goes does his own thing, and they do their own thing. But because of our testimony and what we do, the Lord Jesus Christ will bless through that, and we can make him judgment. And there's much more, but I do want to finish up with this thought today. Lovely. Looks down there for whatsoever thing is lovely. When we think about there, have you ever been there? I've heard this. I've heard this many times yet. You're at a wedding, almost at a funeral, but you're at a wedding, and the bride comes through in her white dress and the whole thing. And what do you think the ladies see? Isn't she just lovely? You know, and that's, she's in her eyes, her guy's up there, boy, isn't she lovely? Just shaking his head, stuff like that. When you look at them, this is the only place lovely is mentioned. It talks about love and all that, but in that spirit, you know what lovely means? Beautiful, amiable, pleasant, and friendly. And Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look over there in verse 31. Ephesians chapter, just before Philippians, Ephesians there, chapter 4. And, you know, I call my little red-haired one, she's a spitfire, but I love her today. I love all my grandkids, but she is a spitfire. And to me, she's lovely. You know, she's just a good-looking girl. And so is my family. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. You know, lovely. Has your wife, Tommy, has your wife ever called you lovely before? That'd be odd, wouldn't it? No. She probably said handsome. Probably said that. You're so handsome. You're just so handsome. I'm not saying that's her saying. But lovely, you know, it's kind of the way it is. And I'm sure they love to hear it. Even though we're kind of dirtbags and don't say it much. But chapter 31 down there, verse 1, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, there's that flipping that coin just like this. Be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You need to try to get along, and you need to try to just do what the Lord God has got us to do. We're not going to make it. Let's look at one more, and we'll finish up with the other one. Let's go to look over to of a good report. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Why are we going to make it? Because you talk too much. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it says there. It says, moreover, he must have... And what this is talking about, it's talking about a bishop. And it talks about deacons too. Over there at another spot, but moreover he must, verse 7, have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine and greedy of filthy, holding the mystery. And it goes down there, and we go on in verse there. But it goes on and talks about it. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll finish up. This is probably, I just love Hebrews chapter 11, of just the ones that died over there. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it's talking about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, how important the true word of God is, so that things that are seen were not made but the things which do appear. Now let's turn over to verse 35. Verse 35, it says, it's talking about all these guys that died in faith. And in verse 34, quench the violence of the fire, escape the edge, talking about people that we didn't, their names are not even mentioned, that have died for the Lord Jesus Christ, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant, in fight, turned the flight of the armies and aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Ouch, ouch, ouch. And that's, we are so blessed here, and we haven't had to go through any of that. And others had the trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. These people are back, way back when. And these all having obtained what? A good report. They went through all this and have a good report. And how about you today? You're in here today. Do you have a good report before the lost in Dillon, Montana, and the place that you are? If you haven't got one, you need to get one. Because having a good report and a good reputation and a good testimony toward anybody that's lost is going to be way better than, oh, I just found out you got saved, but you've been saved for 25 years type of deal. You know, this guy, and I've seen that over and over. So help us to have a good report and to think on these things. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to, and the Apostle Paul was trying to encourage him, and I'm encouraging you to think on these things. We'll finish up with the others next time. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that salvation is free, that you died on the cross for all, for everybody. And if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they might call upon you today. Thank you now, in Jesus' name we pray. All right, let's go ahead and stick around for about 15 minutes for the next service.